This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
No, you're not seeing things. It's not John McDonald on the show this week. It's John McConnell, the trainer. We just had to find the man that sounded most like Bar One's John McDonald, because John McDonald is having Wi-Fi problems. So all of this talk and all this chat about delivering 5G, the best broadband in the country, and all of that just hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened in the ethers of the wee county of County Louth, because John McDonald's Wi-Fi was so bad that he had to cry enough. So we brought in John McConnell at last notice, and we have our very own friend Barry in as well. But thanks to Bar One Racing, and even though Johnny Mac isn't here, we'll have a chat about the ARC and we'll quote the Bar One prices all on the back of last weekend's amazing Champion Stakes. First of all, just welcome John McConnell to the show. How are you, John?
Good, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. And I started Fran Berry by texting John today and wasn't entirely sure if he'd come on, but I was asking about a horse that he's running at Dundalk tomorrow, because I said, would you put me off napping this horse? Because sometimes I think if a trainer says, yeah, absolutely, like half the time they'll say, yeah, don't tip that tomorrow. I don't really fancy it. That's grand. But we won't name the horse quite yet, but he didn't put me off tipping it. And you mentioned it before we said anything when you came on air. So there's something going on here.
I hope we're right, Johnny, and make a few quid. That's all it takes, and John is a winner, and everybody would be happy.
How did you enjoy last weekend, starting with you, Fran?
It was fantastic. First of all, the crowds, 4,000 people each day. Felt more than that because we're not used to crowds at this stage. And the weather played ball. There was a great atmosphere. Anyone I spoke to went racing both days, enjoyed their day, no queues. Everything went well in that regard, and the race was top class and had a lot of drama in around it, particularly on Saturday. Then Sunday, you know, there was some fantastic results as well. And look, it's one of them things. It's the 8th year of Irish Champions Weekend. You just wonder why it wasn't done 20 years ago. You know, it was so obvious it was there in front of us, but it's been a great innovation, and a spread of winners too on the card, like Jessica Harrington. Four winners on the weekend, I think. Geraldine's four winners on Saturday. Johnny Murta winning his first classic with Sonny Boy Liston after having a disaster on the Saturday at Doncaster and at Leopardstown. And then Aidan O'Brien winning with St. Mark's Basilica in somewhat controversial circumstances. I think it had it all, Johnny.
Yeah, it had it all. We'll talk about that race and actually look back on it very shortly. The two lads are going to provide kind of an in-ring commentary after the fact. But, John, it did have all that, and it also had an amazing tribute to Pat Smullen with the lads. Declan McDonagh and Donna O'Connor showing the voice of an angel, which was totally left field to me.
Yeah, Donna's been riding a good bit for me lately, and I was flagging him yesterday that he should give up the day job and go on X Factor or something. But he still rode one for me today, so he hasn't just done it yet. But no, that was lovely, and just echo everything Fran said, especially the spread of winners. You know, it wasn't just the Ballydoyle show at the weekend. There was plenty more on offer, and it's good to see some other guys. I know they're big guys as well, but you know, it wasn't just one team winning everything. You know, so that was.
Exactly, yeah. We'll get to the naps in due course, but first of all, we're going to look back at the Champions Stakes. Now, this was highly controversial in some respects, even though I don't think any of us really expected with the three parts of length verdict that Ternau was going to get awarded the race. But here it is, and we're going to look back in the replay, and we're going to let Fran and John McConnell take it from here. Fran, what are you thinking early on in the race? Was this setting up as you thought it would?
It was, and look, we'll look at the finishing last two furlongs, but if you back to Ternau, she was beat when she jumped out and sat last. You're trying to...
You already think she's beat?
Yeah, she can't. It's not possible for her to beat the best miler in the world and the best 10 furlong horse in the world and spot them two lengths with the pace she went. I think it was a huge run for her to get as close as she did, but in hindsight, or maybe if the arc wasn't in connections minds, they might have just sat second to Patrick Sarsfields and, you know, had her in a more prominent position where she wouldn't have to make up ground on faster horses.
John?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Fran there. You know, like, Fran, would you not say that Colin Keane should know after 500 yards, I need to get upsize Simarica or, you know, at least upsize him? Should he not do something about it far earlier than he does?
Yeah, you think that with the four runners now, and Colin would say was definitely right into instructions. This was the game plan that was set down by connections. But when you get into single file like that, Leopardstown, see the way they kept out down the back there, keeping three, four off the rail, then they go back in towards the rail, and the rider in front of you, Ryan Moore, will be going left and right. So if you go up to go inside him or go outside him. He's going to push you out or keep you in. So the die is cast. You can't really make a big move, John. If you go down into the pocket there, as Colin is threatening to do, Ryan will probably keep in left, and then you're in the Leopardstown pocket, as we've seen Mother Earth happen in the Matrix Stakes, that type of scenario, even with the four runners. So Colin's got to sit now to this point and see what unfolds in front of him. I do think at the initial top of the straight, he made the right choice to go out. He could not expect Ryan Moore to go out the way he did, maybe out a few horses away from Poetic Flair, but it all got very dramatic. And I know people were saying, Colin, why didn't he go between them? But he committed to going the outside of Ryan. I don't think anyone in the world could have expected Ryan to end up where he did.
And John, what a sprint it turned out to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a 2 furlong sprint, really. See, Fran has his jockey brain on there, and I have my trainer brain on. You know, I think he's got to do something about it earlier than he did. And maybe he was writing to instructions, maybe they have other targets in mind, but you know, if that was an ordinary race, I would have been giving out stink to my jockey for that ride, you know. Because as Fran said, he's basically lost the race in the first furlong and has done nothing about it, you know. And he's up against two horses that are, you know, quick, probably quicker than the filly, you know. So I'm sure even Dermot would be frustrated looking back at it, you know, but maybe they have other things in their mind.
If we can get the arc betting up with Bar 1 just in due course here, and we look at it, because Ternau has now gone favourite, Fran, 5-2 with Bar 1, and just the bet in the bottom of the screen there, they are 7-2 Snowfall, 4-1 Hurricane Lane, 9-2 the Ledger Horse, Simark, Silica 8, he's not going to run there. Fran, in fairness, we did mention this show last week, Dermot Weld was at pains to point out that Ternau's main aim this season was the arc, and now that's kind of odd thing to say considering the Champions Stakes to me is as strategic a race as there is in the world, but he was at pains to say that, and he kind of did ride Ternau accordingly.
And that's the way she was ridden, but I want to probably get into his don't complain about it afterwards, you know. I think they set out with that game plan, the arc is the end target, and she ran some race as a trial for the arc, like the race she ran on Saturday, given the way in which the race developed, was really, really strong. And she goes back to Longchamp, back up and trip, all guns blazing, particularly with the defeat of Snowfall there on the day in Paris, of course.
Who would you fancy in the arc, John?
I mean, you'd have to fancy the filly. She's done it all. She seems to handle most ground. You know, she's very, very hard to find a flaw in. I mean, I suppose Adiar, both to get off an arches. I don't know if both are going to run, but you know, they're obviously very good horses in their own rights as well. But you know, she's been there and kind of done everything, danced every dance. So you know, even though she's not much of a prize, you have to think she was the one, you know.
That's an owner ringing John there, and just to clarify, the filly is Ternau rather than Snowfall.
Oh, Ternau, yeah.
Okay, well, let's look back on probably the other most striking performance of the weekend. I know Fran mentioned the Ledger going to John Murton and all that, but I guess if you are looking at trends, Appleby Godolphin National Stakes, this wasn't surprising.
Racing inside the final two, it's Ebo River and James Doyle. Coming under pressure is Point Lonsdale, and Ryan Moore trying to get on terms is Native Trail and William Buick on the outside. They're being followed then by Great Max and Ultramarine. It's Ebo River, Native Trail's quickening up on the outside of Point Lonsdale inside the final half furlong, and it's Native Trail who's going to stay unbeaten in the Gough Vincent O'Brien National Stakes. Draws away for an emphatic win. Point Lonsdale, Scholars Lord, then April River and Ultramarine, Great Max, Duke de Sesa and Anatoly.
It wasn't quite Pinatubo, maybe, John. And like, visual impressions can be misleading in the sense that Point Lonsdale was kind of running up and down a bit on the spot, and this horse just was able to quicken by him. But what were your thoughts? And is he a Guineas horse or a Derby horse?
I was very impressed with him. Maybe the second horse didn't run his race. I mean, he still second in the one, but you know, he won as he liked, really. I thought he stayed very well. On pedigree, you could definitely question whether he'd stay the Derby in terms of Oasis Dream. And I don't think there's too much middle distance in the pedigree. So I'm sure they will end up going for the going for the guineas and worry about the Derby after, you know.
And Fran, the 2-year-old bubble for in terms of Irish 2-year-olds this season seems to be fairly well burst at this stage.
It does, but even since then we've seen Ballydoyle produce two very nice maidens. Did one win a Nace today, looking really smart, winning with his ears pricked. And at Punchestown on Tuesday, I was very taken by the performance of River Thames, a son of Churchill. He was a beauty in the parade ring, Johnny, before the race.
Is every Churchill the best looker in the parade ring?
Yeah, they are. They're smashing looking horses, but they're starting to run like that now as well, back end of the year. And that was a very taken performance. If viewers get a chance to look at that replay, he was so green and he'd done extremely well to win. I think he's a really nice horse in the making. And United Nations won today. That was the horse who won the Nace. So, look, on the back of the defeat last Sunday, I'm definitely not going to say Aidan O'Brien won't win the Dewhurst or the Virgin Futurity Trophy. There could be something there. But on the national stakes, I think Point Lonsdale got beaten as a Derby candidate by a Guineas candidate. I think it was a speed thing. Eber River got Point Lonsdale out of his comfort zone over the 7-furlong trip. And, you know, he's a 6-furlong group on with Eber River. And he just dragged the sting out of Point Lonsdale, who didn't have any pace to struggled to get by Eber River initially, and then the winner, once a penny dropped with the winner, he kicked into top gear. But I think it was a case of two different styles of horses, and I think the winner physically before the race, only I liked Point Lonsdale so much and such a fan of his, I couldn't back against him, but on looks he was a different class to him physically at this time of the year.
He is a beautiful looking horse, and we obviously have John on the show because he's a scatter of runners at Dundalk tomorrow and runners at Navan as well, which is essentially a Bar One sponsor car. Before we get to that, here are the naps from last weekend, and we won't spend long on this because we are a show that fully believes in propaganda when things go well and suppressing information when things go badly, and they went badly last weekend. Corge Gajot, which roughly translates as friend for life, was anything but finished 9-4, 6th in the Meigler. Fran went for the speculative double, even though it wasn't that speculative. And of course, like all good doubles, you had one winner, which was St. Mark's Basilica, and Mother Earth, which was beaten. And my horse was Riot. Now, if you did back this to Bar One, you got paid in each way 5th, but no excuse. Whatever, 6-1. John, I was looking at Dundalk coming back tomorrow. It's a 4:40 start, and I couldn't but think of winter is on the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Only this morning I was looking at the ground when I came out, and it was really like a heavy dew. And the nights are closing in. Looking outside the window here now, it's getting dark. So, yeah, Dundalk will be in full flow. Kevin and Fran will be up there every week.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it actually.
Yeah, Fran, you kind of came to prominence in your post jockey life with your Dundalk appearances. It was almost like a breeding ground for the greatness that was about to befall later on in your life. But that's where it all kind of kicked off for you.
Yeah, funny. Dundalk got me going as a rider, and it's kind of got me going a bit my TV career now as well. And we had a great time up there last winter for the Friday Club. They'll be starting back in October, and we've a lot of plans. Obviously, last year the Mick Cannan interview and Hugh Bowman and a few things that went down very well, and plans to expand out in that and get out the road. And we're going to go to Geraldine's, hopefully pre-Breeders' Cup, and have a chat with him in the morning with him. So John McConnell, we meet every Friday up there as well. We can grab him whenever we want. Journey goes racing once a year. So that's the plan.
I don't know, John, where would we be without it though? In terms of like, I know I've gone racing at Dundalk many times, either as an owner or just a race goer. I really like it. But if you are staying at home watching on a Friday night, a lot of people watch it in the pubs on Fridays. It's brilliant, brilliant entertainment to start the weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing how it's kind of got ingrained
Is the word, yeah.
Friday night entertainment for an awful lot of people. And probably out of that, then you're getting a lot of syndicates wanting to have a horse for Dundalk, even just an ordinary horse, you know. So it's really a brilliant thing to have, and it's on my doorstep as well, which is even better, you know.
Yeah, happy days. And John has a scatter of runners, as I said, including one that Fran and I, for some reason, both fancy, which we'll get to. But Fran, let's start off in the 7:45, which is the Giants and Instagram to Dock Stadium race. This is a smart, smart race. A run over the mile and a half. Leo DeFiori, Benoit, Isle of Sark, Southern Cape, and Stour. The O'Briens have four of the runners. Jessica Hynt is Leo DeFiori, son of Australia, who's been a shade disappointing this season.
And a cracking race, despite only the 5 runners. You could probably put a line through Southern Cape at the minute, given how long he's been off the track for all that. He was a good winner last year. And the other four, there's so much going on with him. Isle of Sark, he looked like he'd the world at his feet when winning up there last winter, admittedly against Median Auction Horse, but he just hasn't gone on the grass. He's up in Trip tomorrow. They've tried a tongue tie on him last time. Now, he was only beaten four lengths by Ottoman Emperor, so maybe it wasn't that bad a run. An interesting back in the circus, or on the surface, excuse me. And Benno, after his Queen's Vaz run, you know, running behind Tarnawa the last time was not a bad run really at all. And then you're down to Leo de Fury, who's probably a bit unlucky last week. People won't get to see it on the replay due to the injury of Inish Free last week in Leopardstown, but he was impeded a bit when that rival got injured, and he did finish well off slow pace. Loves fast ground, very interesting on the surface, but for me, it's Star is the one that I'd really like to be on tomorrow, stepping up in Trip. I thought he'd say...
Yeah, and before we get to John's runners, we should mention as well just the opening two-year-old maiden, five horses declared here. HMS Endeavour, Fran, obviously this horse has the pedigree by Warfront out of Lady Eli, and won readily enough at Navan last time. You'd imagine that or Pennine Hills will be favourite here.
Yeah, he's currently, I think, 15 to 8 there at half seven Thursday night, Johnny. I think he'll win. I know he's by Warfront, close years, Johnny, but he's a Warfront switching to the Polytrack, which would really suit him. Pirate Jenny, who beat in Navan, was withdrawn as a odds-on favourite today in the first race in Nace. The third home, Red Lacewing, actually won well and won nicely at Nace today. That form's given that a big boost. And the likes of Pennine Hills looks slightly regressive for all that she enjoy coming back and Trip, and the rest of them have it all to do.
Nicely summated there. We'll start with your first runner, John Cousin Shea. Dunno O'Connor, the voice of an angel on a horse who probably would need to sprout rings to win this.
Yeah, he was very, very green in Avon when he ran. He hadn't drilled him at home. He hadn't drilled him in the stalls. He missed a break. And you couldn't really sit on the telly, but he actually ran on quite well. In the last furlong and a half. So I think he'll run a lot better than maybe his odds suggest. I'd be disappointed if he wasn't able to be up the tails of the ones in front of him, or the ones in high in the betting. You know, it's a competitive maiden, but it's a super, you know, I don't think there's a superstar in it. So I'm hoping he'll get in the prize money anyway. But he's a nice horse for the future. He's just, we bought him in the breeze-ups, and it's taken a while for him to learn that he's not breezing, you know. But he definitely has a decent amount of ability anyway.
Very interesting, then, that you say that, Jen. A horse that should be a decent price. 5.45, Mockalad, Siobhan Rutledge. Just to talk about Siobhan, John, I've really enjoyed watching her progress over the Dundalk series, and I think she's still brilliant value for a seven.
Yeah, she's only two left now of the seven. She's improved like so much in the last year. I suppose a lot of that is just getting right. She's plenty of rides tomorrow. So you know, she's learned about pace and learned about everything. She didn't have any pony racing rides. So she started way behind some of the guys, you know. But she's rapidly catching them up. So I have no problem putting her on any of my horses, you know.
Now, so just to look at the form figures here, 5.00088. Ben Cohn, I think, is 0 from 11 riding for John McConnell. Jack Berryhouse, there's no reason whatsoever to fancy this horse, obviously, on paper. I texted John McConnell earlier, would you put me off Nap and Jack Berryhouse tomorrow? He said I would not. Fran Berry, one of the first things he said is, when he came on, is he going to mention Jack Berryhouse? Fran, what is going on? It's a 0-60 at Dundalk and we're all getting jiggy.
Exactly. Well, first of all, it's not a whatever 63, Johnny, just to be on the ball there, you know. And there are a lot of horses bang out of form, and that's the first thing to note about the race. Jack Berryhouse was a good winner last year, and he was also beaten in a close finish at the track. They were off marks of 60 and 61. He runs here off mark of 51, and he had a couple of early runs in the grass, but his last run, recent run at Belliestown, he showed up really well. He was disputed onto the roadway 100 yards from the line. He looked to me like he got tired. His record on the grass is not all that strong. And back in the poly track, I'd be really interested in a week race.
Yeah, unlike a lot of us, he has an aversion to grass. But this horse's last run at Dundalk, when he came up the inner, typical Colin Keane ride, I thought was very encouraging, John.
Yeah, he ran well. I think he was on the wrong side. That time, Colin wasn't very hard on him when he wasn't going to be involved, and kind of blamed him for finishing closer. That was £5 higher. His run in the Dundalk before that was a good run of £8 higher. So hopefully tomorrow is a day for him. The lads have been very patient with him because he it looks like he's a pure Dundalk horse. So he's in good form and is a really top jockey now. He's really come to the fore this year and delighted to have him on board. So hopefully 7-1 there. He's probably a good each way bet.
Beautiful. So if Fran is taking the price, contracting the price, the fact on my recent form, it will be lengthening the price and John McConnell tipping it should hopefully bring the price down again. But we have to mention Pearl of the West, Teofilo Filly, who's been on the go now since 2015. She's been with you, John, since 2018. And just one of these things, she's been real stable star for you, but obviously developed a problem or so since we saw her 2 years ago.
Yeah, she got a tendon in the Galway hurdle on her last run. She would have recovered from that about a year ago, but she's just had very, very simple little niggles on and off. So it's taken a while to get her back to the track. She's actually run well in Dundalk before. Killian's riding her. He'll take some weight off her as well. So probably need the run. We really have our eye on her. A chasing kind of season, or maybe we'll see her hurdling or chasing, but it's a good place to start her, a good safe place to start her anyway, and it's great to have her back. She's on her day, she's a very, very decent filly.
What's it like having a son or daughter, a son in this case, riding? Is it a mixture of pride, exhilaration, but also I guess nerves, because it is a dangerous game and all that. He's a young kid starting off learning his trade.
Yeah, no, you're definitely proud. I don't get too nervous. I get more nervous that he's going to make a mistake than
filling him with confidence there.
Yeah, but it's brilliant when it goes right. It's brilliant. It's probably more frustrating when it goes wrong because obviously you have people kind of looking at you thinking you put him up because he's your son. But I mean, Killian works very hard in the yard. He's a real grafter and. He only actually started riding horses three or four years ago. So to make the progress he's made in that short space of time has been amazing. So, I'd like to give him as many chances as I can and hopefully it is all over the winter.
And finally, last week's guest, J.A. Heffernan, is an interesting booking for Sween of Sheila. Hooded again, must have a really solid chance in that beautiful trip at Dundalk, the mile and 150 yards. It's an interesting... It's an interesting trip, this one, John, because I think a lot of people don't realise how quick you get to the bend there. So if you're drawn high, you can kind of be in no man's land, which should be okay drawn six.
Yeah, it's not my favourite trip of Dundalk. That run to the first bend is like a quarter horse race. This one had shown ability and kind of went off the boil a bit. We were trying to work out her trip, and finally we worked out her trip the last time. So we've upped her another little bit today or tomorrow. She's a chance at 10-1. She's a big price because it's not a great race, and she's probably the only horse in it that's unexposed. She's as I said, she's only really learning how to run at this trip now. Shame we got on well with her the last day, so I think she's a chance. 10-1. I think it's a big price.
Fran, any other thoughts on the card?
Dundalk, obviously Jack Perry House. We like. I'm excited about that winner's race. Just see our star. Progresses from its run. Tony Martin trained first man in the A15. It's very interesting, dropping down to the 65 bracket back on the all weather. Colin Keane booked to ride. He was placed there twice last year, ex French horse. And in the second race, Redbud of Fozzy Stacks, his form has got a boost, but he does have to give weight away to Takana of Kieran Murphy's, who shaped well in Avon.
We also have, it's a real bumper weekend of action, which obviously culminates at the start of the Listowel Festival with crowds back as well. And that's going to be so exciting for people in the Listowel that they have their meeting back. We have obviously Downpatrick, but I guess our main focus now for the rest of the show is going to be Navan. And we'll mention Gorn as well, which stages a smart card with the Lamwadi Studs. Group 3 as 4:30, and the centrepiece of a very smart car beginning at 1:35 at Gorn on Saturday. But Navan, is that your local track, John?
Well, Ballysdown will be my local track. It's only 2 kilometres away, but Navan's a handy spin for us. We like having runners there, yeah.
this is a you've actually obviously you're a mixed trainer, but you've four interesting horses here, and we'll start with Wild Shot, horse with plenty of Dundalk regulars will recognise, now running in a maiden hurdle, the 115.
Yeah, he's in Downpatrick tomorrow in the first. Now, if the ground changes in Downpatrick, they're expecting a lot of rain. He may reroute to Navan. So he's run twice for me over hurdles and been good both times. He's kind of probably best when fresh. So he's had a little break since Galway when he ran in the flat. He'd have an each way squeak in it. He's not a very big horse, so that's why we're taking a bit of weight off him. But wherever he goes, either tomorrow or Saturday, he should be in the money.
Lovely. And Tango Theatre, lovely run last time behind Favori Logique, has been, I guess, one of the stories of the autumnal part of the season anyway. And I did this race, so I suppose I didn't think it was much of a race. What sort of chance?
She probably prefer a little bit of ease in the ground. She's a talented filly. I don't know if dropping back and trip is going to be ideal for her owners coming over to watch. That's what ran her in it. But if at her best, she'd have a good chance. But I'm not sure if the ground will be ideal for her on Saturday unless they get a lot of rain.
And Bardenstown Lad must have been the first 10-1 on favourite you had when running at Cartmel last time.
I think I had a 9-1 on winner.
I'm glad you said winner anyway.
Yeah, they're not pretty watches when you have a 9-1 on shot or a 10-1 on shot. Especially the way Bardenstown Lad races, he's very lazy and
yeah,
made it. But he's a good horse. We probably don't know how good he is because he only gives you what he needs to give you, really. So obviously Gordon has Tully Beg in it. At the ratings, he looks well in, but I think we're definitely underrated at 121. I don't think Bardenstown Lad will end up 121 by the end of the season, I'll put it like that.
And Navan will suit him down to the ground, surely.
Navan will suit him 2.6 nearly, and we won't have to force him like we did in Carmel. So we'll follow them around for a lot of it, I'd say, and he'll definitely stay well. So yeah, he's a very exciting horse.
Lovely, that's what we want to hear. And do remember, this is a Bar One sponsored card, and the Bar One Racing new account handicap hurdle Division One is John's final runner, Yamato, another regular around Dundalk over the years. An 8-year-old now, John, and Jordan Gaines for claiming the 5.
Yeah, he beat everything Bar One in Galway the last day. The winner looked like he had just joined in 2 out, but just a little consistent little horse. Always runs a decent race, so he should have a very good chance. I mean, it's Navan. There's 20 runners or something. So you know you can't be too confident. But he didn't go up much for being second the last day, and he's in good form, so he should have a chance. But he's not a horse that wins very often, so you couldn't be sure that he'd win. But he should give a good account of himself anyway.
Did you look at Navan, Fran?
I had a quick flick through it. Two horses to watch out for anyway. The 115, Nomeads Hurled Debut and Luke Short ran a cracker last week as a reserve in the last race of the current Sunday. He was the best finisher in that Premier Handicap over a mile and a quarter. He makes his hurled debut in that. And in the 255, Chemical Energy of Gordon Elliott's be very interesting. Disappointed a little bit in the Cheltenham bumper, but had some good form prior to that.
Yeah, should win, I thought. I just wanted to get your view on this, Fran. I thought Davy Russell, and I've thought this for months, I did not think he would ride again because it was going on and on and on. I think he's 42. He obviously had a tricky injury in terms of, I'm not sure, was it a nerve in his back or whatever, but you did come to mind because you fairly quickly, now you were basically told, that's it, you're done, call a halt. Davy, I don't know, is he it's interesting when you're on the cusp of retirement because you don't want to go out in that manner, but he's back and it's unbelievable. He's 3 rides over the next 2 days.
Yeah, and he rides Chemical Energy on Saturday. Obviously, he's 2 rides in Downpatrick, I think, tomorrow. Look, I wish him the very, very best of luck. It's great to see him back if that's what he's his heart set on, which he does. Quite remarkable at 42 years of age to see him back, but it's not without Priest and Mick Fitzgerald came back from a serious injury and rode a lot of winners before he unfortunately had to give up. But Davies could be set for a big winter. Gordon Elliott, it's going to be one of the stories, or you know, following his progress with his comeback, and Davy is going right there in the tick with him.
And Gordon is back with a bang, John.
He is, yeah. We knew it was going to happen when he got the license property back. There was going to be a stream of good runners coming in. So, yeah, we were all those small trainers were trying to get our win before he got it. You know, winter's coming when Gordon and Willie start. Even the cards in Downpatrick, the entries were much more strong than normal. Time for us to kind of pack up and come back next April, probably.
Well, hopefully you've a winner at Dundalk in the meantime. Anyway, before we finish up and get to Naps, Fran, we should mention the Lanwaid Stud, Denny Cardell, Laverack and Lanwaid Stud. That's the 4:30 score in a Group 3. It's typical kind of fighting for black tie pair. LCM obviously running for Noel Mead, very interesting runner. Disco Boots, M&E obviously for Derma Weld as well, and April Showers, a Galileo horse, who's rated 102 for Dunica.
Yeah, it's a really, you know, wide open race. I'd imagine the betting is going to be quite open. Cartouche is very interesting on her comeback run. Was a wide margin winner at Ferry House last year, admittedly on soft ground. It's a year almost since we've seen her, but she won her maiden by 14 lengths on that occasion, I think it was, from what I can recall. Noel Mead's runner is interesting also as well. New ownership as well, M&E. But I have one I really like in that, and it's going to be my each way nap of the weekend, so I'm going to hang on to it.
Lovely. So that'll give KT, who's producing the show, almost no time at all to come up with the graphics for Fran's nap. But I think we can all assume that we don't probably need it on the screen. But what is your nap, John McConnell, for the weekend? It must be a strong book of rides you've had over or of mounts you've had, horses that you train over the weekend in a long time.
Well, I tell you, I wouldn't be too confident if I was riding them. these 2 pounds overweight. But listen, I think Bardenstein Lad is going to take a lot of beating in Navin.
Love it.
He's very progressive, and we've only scratched the surface of how good he could be. So I'm looking forward to seeing him out again.
That's John's nap. And remember, obviously, back with Bar One Racing, but if you are in running at any stage, this horse does race lazily, but he will find, and Navin is a hill that will find out many horses. Johnny Max Knapp, in his absence, is Chemical Energy. This horse should take an awful lot of beating. He is running in the 255 at Navin. There it is in the bottom of the screen. Obviously, a horse was found out maybe a little bit upped in class in proper bumpers behind Kilcrute and the likes, Sir Gerhard last year. But I thought he was a class apart. If he jumps at all, he should win that race. And as we were saying earlier, the Dundalk coming back is a sign of the winter. So is it a sign of the winter when you see kind of Gordon Elliott having short price favourites at Navin running in maiden hurdles that should take an awful lot of beating. Fran, I should have gone to you first for the nap, but here is Fran's nap.
It is lovely esteem in Gorham Park. Now, look, she's going to be running the toughest race all day Saturday in the flat there, but have a look at her last run at the Curra. She was a very unlucky loser. She got no run down the inside in that Snow Fairy Filly Stakes, and prior to that, she did some decent steps of form. She was fourth in the Salisbury Stakes at Navin early in the year. I think she's primed for a big run. There'll be 16 runners, and I presume most bookies will be going at least four, if not five places. And I can see her being 8, 10, 12 to 1, and she's valued that.
Lovely esteem in the 4:30 at Gorn, and I'm going to give KT time to actually write that on the bottom of the screen, because we are experimenting with a slightly new format this week, but it gives you the chance to kind of look back on races and get John and Fran's analysis, which I thought was absolutely fascinating about the Champion Stakes as well. And in light of that, my nap is Jack Berry House, John McConnell.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, what can possibly go wrong? My big question is, will Ben Cohen get this horse handier than he's been in recent starts, or do you think he'll be able to get him handier? Is he a bit lazy or what?
No, he normally travels okay. He's a funny sort of a horse because he's run very well being handy. He's also run well dropped out, so I think it depends on the pace of the race. I'll leave that to Ben. Ben's a revelation this season, so I don't have to tell him how to ride it, you know.
And Fran's nap, as I said, was a lovely esteem, and that is running the 4:30 at Gorn. And there it is magically. John, where are you racing?
Each way,
just to get the excuses in early. John, where are you the weekend?
I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I might try and go to both places tomorrow, Patrick and Dundalk. And then I'll probably be in Navin on Saturday, I'd say.
Fran?
I actually have the weekend off. I'm Dundalk tomorrow night and Saturday and Sunday I'm not racing. My son is playing Gaelic on Saturday and that is the plan. I just wanted to ask John, obviously this time of year you have yearling sales, horse and training sales. You are well known for picking up secondhand recycling and recycling good horses, or making good horses out of horses who might have lost their form. Shadwell Stud today announced they're going to sell off hundreds of horses, I'd say, reading between the lines. That must be exciting for a trainer like you to get stuck into with the horse and training sales and that kind of a dispersal coming up.
Yeah, it is, Fran. I'm looking forward to the new market sales now. It's normally 4 or 5 days of horse and training, and getting through that catalogue now is, it's not tough work for me. It's enjoyable for me. It's like a holiday for me doing that. So, I really do like finding angles on horses. I suppose we don't, even with my big owners, we don't have the huge money to spend that some of the others have. So it's trying to find an angle on a horse. That's the real enjoyable part. And when it comes off, it's even better. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to those sales. Obviously, I'd like to buy a couple of nice yearlings as well. There's nothing better than having a good two-year-old. So, yeah, it'd be nice to get one of them.
It's been great having you on, John. Hopefully you'll come back on the show, will you?
I will, yeah, no problem. I'll wear the hoodie the next time.
Yeah, and he's always available on those Friday nights when it's absolutely Baltic at Dundalk. Kevin isn't giving out, Fran, but you're in one layer more than Kevin, and you're still saying it's absolutely freezing because you jockeys were soft enough, lads, really.
Well, with greatest credits to Dundalk, they built a little shelter for us last year, and I bring a plug-in heater, so we're okay, Johnny, and it's all the trainers who tend to huddle in around us are the ones to look out for.
It should be a homeless shelter, but in any event, it'd be great having you on, lads.
Pleasure.
Yeah, and in his absence, thanks very much to Barwon and John McDonald, obviously, for the show. And we will be back next week with this format. Plenty more Dundalk, and we'll be building up to the Arc and enjoy Listowel. And we'll chat to you next week.
Cheers.
Thanks a million, John.
This is On the Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Barwon Racing.